I'd like you to turn to a portion of Scripture, Romans chapter 5 tonight.
Romans chapter 5.
I do appreciate you allowing me, Pastor, to come out here, kind of share my burden with you in the church. I did not know I was going to be preaching to a bunch of pastors. I feel like I got bamboozled a little, but I think I'll do this portion of Scripture justice, at least to the best of my ability. So I am here to kind of really tell you guys about my burden about starting a church. During my college experience in 2012 at West Coast Baptist College, the Lord really put on my heart to this desire to start a church. I wasn't exactly sure how or where or when, but God definitely filled in those details as time had gone by. I graduated in West Coast Baptist College in 2014, and I got married the next week. Right after that, we went to Germany, my wife and I, to be on staff at her father's church in Ansbach, Germany, where we served there for nearly 3 years to the U.S. military, and it was a really wonderful experience. But the Lord was really kind of calling us back to the United States. My mother was passing away of cancer in 2016, and so my own cancer bout, I kind of understood some of the things that she was going through, so we thought that maybe it would be a good time for us to come back home, and that's exactly what we did in 2016. We kind of came back to the United States to take care of her. After she passed away, the Lord was really kind of working on our hearts about that desire back in 2012. You know, what we were supposed to be doing, what God's calling on our life was to do. And so we had made the decision to come back up to Ohio, where I'm originally from. She is from Florida, spent most of her life in Europe. And so as we came up to Ohio, we thought, well, if we're going to be here, is there a desire or is there a need, per se, to start a church in Ohio? And did you know we didn't have to look too far to find out that that was the truth, right? That here in Ohio, we needed another church. And this may be a missions emphasis this evening or throughout, your time here. And we think about missions maybe overseas or somewhere far from here, but did you know that the United States was considered a mission, that we were the ones overseas at one point in time? And so it's so easy to look abroad to say, hey, you know, missions is somewhere in Uganda or China or other places like that, and we forget domestically that we need Jesus more than we ever have. So before I get into the message tonight, I really want to kind of give you a little bit of an understanding of where I'm going. Is that okay tonight, church? Okay, so where I'm going to be planting a church, Lord willing, is just east of Columbus, Ohio. Columbus is obviously about an hour south of here. We're going to be looking at starting a church in a city called Reynoldsburg, Ohio. Reynoldsburg, Ohio is just east, again, of Columbus, Ohio. It's about 40,000 people within an 11-square-mile area. So there's a lot of people densely populated into that particular area. Three statistics I kind of want to share with you tonight and get into the message. The first one is 60% of people in Reynoldsburg doesn't claim any type of religious belief system. That means you can go knock on about 24,000 doors in Reynoldsburg, and they don't go to church, really. They don't really have any belief. They don't really have anything to go off of. Maybe as a child they may have, but currently they don't do anything. They don't believe anything. So that's a big open field. Now, the remaining amount of that 60,000, that doesn't mean that they're going to, or I'm sorry, that 40,000, that doesn't mean that they're going to a really good church. So it just means that they're in church on a regular basis. So 60% of people in that small city doesn't claim any type of a religious belief. The next statistic is smaller, but it's still significant. It's 4.5%. Now, that's the population increase of Reynoldsburg every few years. Now, that's interesting because Columbus, Ohio, as well as Ohio in general, is doing well economically. Columbus is doing well economically. That provides a lot of jobs. That provides a lot of income. That means people are populating Columbus, Ohio. Now, because Columbus is becoming so populated, that's causing others that have been there for a while to move away from the Columbus area. One of those areas is Reynoldsburg, Ohio. So 4.5% population increase every few years, with 60% of people not claiming any religious belief. Now, that's really, really good for someone like me that wants to go start a church. There's lost people, and there's people that's constantly moving there, so it looks like a thriving and continuous area. So that's really, really important for someone like me. And if you're looking to get behind church planters and missionaries, that's really important for people like you. The last statistic is more so statewide. 58. Now, this is an older statistic, a few years old. So the last time that I read it was 58% of people here in Ohio do not go to church on a regular basis. That means they may come to your Easter service. They probably won't come next service. They may come to your Christmas service or on a special service or something like that, but they do not consistently, on a constant basis, attend church on a regular basis. That means they don't constantly get preaching from the Word of God on a regular basis. That means they don't get to get involved in church and church people and things that of God on a regular basis. That means that there is a large chunk of the spiritual truth that they're missing on a regular basis. Could you imagine not eating for a few weeks or a few months? Now, spiritually, if we're going to apply that spiritually, could you imagine that? Not reading your Bible, praying, getting involved in the church, seeing church people in a few months, maybe a few times a year? That's difficult. 58% of people in the state of Ohio, your state, unless you're pastor, your home, and we're not thinking that the United States or Ohio is a mission field. We can so overlook that. Oh, because we can go home and we can eat food and we can enjoy outside. We can enjoy the things of life and we can have our bills paid and we don't have to worry about persecution. Because of those things are okay and those things are intact, we completely forget that Ohio is a mission field. So I'm praying, and I ask that you pray with me. I've got some prayer cards. They look like this. If I can give some of them to you tonight, if you'd like to see me after the service, I'd love to give you some of those. It's got our information on the back. High Street Baptist Church is our sending church. They're about an hour south of us tonight. They're going to send us out. They have really gotten behind us. And they're going to get behind us in a bigger way in the next year or so, involving us in trying to plant that church in Reynoldsburg, Ohio. Baptist Church Planting Missions is also who we're partnering up with. They've been around for about 25 years planting churches. They've got a success rate of 90 to 95% of planting churches and they being established and still going on after 10 years. That's really good. Most businesses don't last five when they start out, but churches are, with these people and these ministries, they're lasting over 10. That's really, really good. So I'd really ask that you'd pray with me. My wife couldn't be here tonight. My daughter's kind of feeling a little sick, and we're actually kind of closing on a house, getting into a new house. So I do pray for that grace from you guys, and I do pray that you just continue to maybe keep us on your forefront, as I know that Pastor's been so gracious to contact me and allowing us to kind of really present our ministry to you. Again, we've got some prayer cards. We would love to maybe answer some of your questions, or maybe some of your comments or concerns, conundrums, anything that you got that starts with a C, okay? I think, are we ready for some preaching? Let's see, I got about 20 minutes left. I think I can do it. You guys at Romans chapter 5? Romans chapter 5, we're going to start out in verse number 1. Romans chapter 5, it says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulation also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. Verse 5, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Father, I thank you for this time. I thank you, Lord, for another opportunity to preach your word. Someone like me shouldn't have that opportunity, but I thank you for it. I thank you that all those have come into attendance tonight. They could be at home. They could be making dinner. They could be relaxing. But Lord God, they've taken this opportunity to come to church and to magnify your word. I do pray, Lord God, that you would bless them for their faithfulness. Bless the church. Bless Pastor as well. We thank you for it in Christ's name. Amen. Let me give you a quick definition of hope, okay? Hope is defined this manner. A feeling of expectation and desire for a certain thing to happen. A feeling of expectation and desire for a certain thing to happen. But did you know today's society, that definition of hope's changed a little bit. It's no longer the feeling of expectation and desire for a certain thing to happen. It's changed the definition to this right here. A feeling of uncertainty for a certain thing to happen. So here on one hand, you've got the feeling of expectation for a certain thing to happen. And then you've got this feeling of uncertainty for a certain thing to happen. Have you ever been there in your life? Have you ever struggled with something God said, hey, I want you to have hope. I want you to expect for this to happen. And all you feel is uncertainty. I've got a note here. It says this. God says that we have a spirit of expectation, and sometimes all we feel is uncertainty. The moment we got saved, it's as if God installed a conduit stemming from Him to us. Flowing through that conduit was immense amount of hope. The ability to see a brighter future, the confidence in a new life, the expectation of change. Amen. Somewhere along the line, we got that confidence, but maybe days or months or even years have gone by, and that feeling of expectation changes to a feeling of uncertainty about God and His power. Once upon a time, hope was associated with confidence in our new life, and now there's a disconnection to hope. There's a disconnection to confidence. The question this evening is this. How do we reconnect to hope? How do you and your congregation reach a community that is in need of hope? How do we as a church family here this evening feeling hopeless, how do we reconnect to hope? How do we cleanse that conduit to where we feel hope again? Well, in the next few moments, I'd like to maybe explain a few truths about hope this evening. Notice with me number one, the entrance into hope. Verse number one, it says this, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. The entrance into hope. Here, did you notice that God ties our hope in with our identity? In Him? Verse 1, it says this, therefore being justified, meaning declared righteous by God or by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Notice these words. Hope is tied to our identity. Our identity is tied to Christ. Therefore, if our hope is to be stirred up once more within us, we must first stir up who we are in Jesus Christ. So often in our life, we can say that maybe an answered prayer is hope, or maybe our finances coming together, that's hope. But my friend, that is not hope. That is that is what happens when you put your hope in Christ. When we have our identity tied with Christ, once we realize that our hope is through our identity, we can understand that it's not our circumstances that makes us feel happy. But when we know that we are with Jesus, when we know that our identity is in Jesus Christ, no matter our circumstances, we can still feel that expectation. When we look at our finances or an answered prayer, when we say, this is what I put our hope in, what God can give unto me, what makes my situation better, that makes our hope tied into what God can give us instead of who God is. My friend, so often I talk to people this evening, and maybe not tonight, but you know what I mean, that so many people put this hope or this emphasis on a thing, a person in which God can bless them with, and God becomes secondary. The entrance into hope is through the justification that only God can give us through faith. It is our relationship that Jesus, with Jesus, that ties us to hope. Look, verse two. By whom also we have access by faith into this grace. That's important because it's like a room. You have accessed this room by way in which you came through that door. And I believe John chapter 10, I think verse 9 or so, verse 10 maybe, Jesus says, I am the door. It's as if you have to go through the door to enter this room. It is you have to go through Christ to enter into heaven, get into a relationship with Him. I heard it said this way, God doesn't have grandchildren. You must personally come to the point in which you have to trust Christ as your personal Savior. 1 Peter 1:3 says it this way. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us unto, here it is, a lively hope. By the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You know why we can hope? You know why we can celebrate and be joyful on Easter? Because He is risen, amen?
Amen.
There is a hope there. So let me ask you this question. Why do people feel hopeless? Why do people, when there's so much hope out there to be had in Christ, through Christ, why do people feel hopeless? I believe it's this way. Most of the time, or at least for in my life, it's this. I'll give you three words. Divinely delayed response. No, notice what I mean here. Instant change was our first introduction to hope. You see, the moment you got saved, you were changed. You were given immediate hope. So anything that doesn't instantaneously change in our lives makes us feel hopeless. A divinely delayed response can make us feel hopeless. But if God decides to maybe cure that disease or make that finances meet together, and if God decides to make those certain things that you're praying for happen maybe in a few months, got to remember this evening that it is not an answered prayer or some certain thing that you're looking for that gives you hope. It is your expectation in God and your direct identity in Him that provides that ability to hope again. Even though if it doesn't come tomorrow. Hey, I'm young. Say amen.
Amen.
I'm good looking. Say amen. Woo. But did you know? I was an all-star athlete in high school, and I was pretty good. Guys, I'm pretty good. I look like this guy right here, right? But did you know in 2014, 6 months after I got married, I was diagnosed with cancer. I kind of told you that. When you get cancer, when you get a disease like that, you don't just bounce back next week like a cold, right? You don't do that. I lost a lot of my hair, like Ryan, isn't that 2014? That was many years ago. Shouldn't you have gotten it back by now? That was it way before then. But did you know when I was looking for an answer prayer that God would wipe that away, it didn't come immediately. But did you know it came? And I'm healthy. And even though the doctor said I would never have children, I've got two. Hope. Expectation, not uncertainty. It's because it's who we are in Christ. Second truth about hope, the existence of hope. Verse number 3. I've only got a few minutes, so I'm going to preach to you, okay? Verse 3, the existence of hope. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. Let me just say it this way. Hope exists. Hope is not out of reach for you this evening. Hope is not just meant for others. It is universally attainable. My friend, I tell you how many times that I've talked to somebody that is under drugs or under satanic influences, that this sinful nature that they constantly feel like they constantly struggle with. And they say, hey, hope is too far for me. Hope is when I can get over here. But let me tell you this. Oh, I'm so excited about this. God reached down to me when I was at my lowest, when I could do nothing, when I had to throw my hands up. Hope exists in the midst of a trial. how? It wasn't when I felt happy and everything was good and the finances were met. Hope was when everything was crashing around me. Hope exists at the point in which you come to God and say, God, I need your help. This is a situation that only you can deal with. I need your help tonight. I need this situation or this marriage mended, or I need financial help. I need to get back in touch with my kids. I'm not doing well with my coworkers. My boss hate me. Whatever the things you can talk about. But I can say tonight that hope exists in the midst of where you're at. Again, verse 3, it says this, and not only so, but we glory in tribulation also. Some of you just want to scratch that out of your Bible. Oh no, there is no hope in glory, or no glory in hope. Listen to this word here, this definition. Glory, it means to boast, to talk with excessive satisfaction. That doesn't mean you talk with excessive satisfaction about your trial, but through your trial. Have you ever met somebody that seemed to have a lot going on in their life, but they just seem to have a Christian spirit? They just seem to have this spirit about them? And isn't it annoying? Yeah. That's my wife. She's always got a go-lucky attitude. I'm usually not awake before the third cup of coffee, and she's ready to go and saying, oh my goodness, but that's the spirit that some people have. In the midst of the trial, they just feel this hope. They feel this excitement. There's energy that God is working through them. Look at this, or notice this in 2 Corinthians. It says this, and he said unto me, Paul says, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities. At that point in time, some of us would just turn a channel. That's right. In persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I'm weak, then am I strong. Sometimes, or at least I know, and for my life, that when God says, hey, I want everything, I'm like, ooh, I can't give you everything. Meaning to say that when God wants it all, we're like, hey, can you take half of me? Because I can give you everything in my life when it's going good, but in persecutions and distresses, when I need to look at you, that's when I look at myself. Hey, I'm a person that, hey, I pride myself on seeing something, just taking the lead and just doing it, being proactive, not being a victim in a lot of situations. And so God's had to deal with me about that. See, God says here, according to Paul, hey, Paul, listen, there's some things in your life that you're just going to have to give up to me. And Ryan, there's some things in your life. Church, there's some things in your life in the midst of your situation and or your trial or wherever you're at that point in time in which you need hope. God says, hey, hope exists. You need to hope in me. You need to expect me to move. You can't go up to before God and say, hey, God, can you do this? Some of us need to reclaim some of God's promises. It says, God, according to your word, you said you would do this. You said if I were to tithe and if I were to give what I'm supposed to give, you said, try me, prove me now. Some of us just need to take God at his word. I promise to you that if we would just believe some of the things that we sang in the hymnal, we would do better. It's so easy, but life gets us down. Life drags us out and drags us through the mud, and we feel this loss of hope. We feel this loss of expectation what God can do. But my friend, let me just remind you, in the midst, according to verse 3 and verse 4, in the midst of this trial, there is hope. In the midst of you having a wayward relationship with one of your family members, hey, hope exists. Hey, you're still struggling with a particular sin. You said, there's no way I'm going to always deal with this. My friend, hope exists. Can I just be honest with this church tonight? Before I went to college and God started to deal with me in my life, I was looking at 21 years in prison. I was dealing with drugs for over 10 years of my life. I became my mother's drug dealer. But let me tell you tonight that I stand before you with an old King James Bible here in my hand and preaching the word of God saying, hey, hope exists. You can be anywhere. Hey, did he not reach Paul, hope exists in the midst of where you're at.
Right.
You don't have to get to a particular place in your life and then hope is attainable right now in the midst of where you are. Hope. I got 5 minutes. I don't know where I read this, but it was really interesting. Not too long ago, archaeologists dug up first century cemeteries in the regions of Greece and Rome, and they found many subscriptions on their tombstone. And do you know what those subscriptions said? It said these two words: no hope. Can you imagine that? But did you know your next door neighbor, your coworker, your family member, they feel that way? They feel like there's no hope. Did you know that there may be somebody in this church? Hey, we've got a number of pastors here this evening. Hey, ministry's hard. Sometimes it feels like there's just no hope. In the midst of your situation, in the midst of your trial, let me remind you. And not only so, but we glory in tribulation also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. Hope is there. Notice really quickly my last point, the expression of hope, verse 5. And hope maketh not ashamed. Ooh, that'll preach. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Hey, I could really expound upon that verse there, but I just want to touch on this first portion here. And hope maketh not ashamed. Notice this phrase. When hope is attained, its expression is to not be ashamed. So when you get back to your relationship with God and you reconnect to your identity with God and you understand who you are, what He's doing through you, do you know that natural outset or outpouring of that situation is not being ashamed? That makes Christianity a little bit easier to deal with. That makes witnessing a little bit easier to deal with. That makes maybe worshiping God a little bit easier to deal with, because when you're in the situation, when you're in the love of God, and when you understand hope, hey, it makes you not ashamed. Hey, don't you feel that same way in the flesh? My first semester break, Pastor, at Bible college, I went to a friend's church in California, and I was his youth pastor, intern youth pastor for that summer. Bad mistake. No, I love kids. I love teenagers. I once was one, and so I kind of understand that. And so one time there was I drove to McDonald's. It was probably about 5 minutes away from the church. And I'm in the drive-thru. I'm sitting in line, made my order. And it's a pretty long line, and I can't really go anywhere. But did you know the guy behind me started honking on his horn like I'm supposed to do something about this? He was honking on laying on his horn. I'm like, what in the world is this guy doing? Like, I am in line just like you are. He kept did you know, to my own failure of the flesh, did you know I got out of my car? Did you know, as a intern youth pastor, I got out of my car and started to walk into that guy's car? I stuck my finger out to him. And do you know what happened, who that was? It was one of the deacons of the church. They just wanted to say hi. That one finger went to 5. Like, hi. I'm just going to go back to my car. Get my McFlurry. And you see, the point of that was when you're dealing with life and when you are in the flesh, you're just not ashamed. You're not ashamed to act and react the way that you just normally would in the flesh. But when we're in the Spirit of God, and when the Spirit of the Holy Spirit is in us, that is shed abroad in our hearts, the natural outset is to not be ashamed of Him. 1 John chapter 3, verse 21. I want to read this verse and then we'll close. Beloved, if our hearts condemn us not, then we have confidence towards God. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him, because we keep His commandments and do those things which are pleasing in His sight. Confidence ties into obedience. When we're obedient to God, we feel confident in what we ask for. And so when we're confident of what we ask for and are confident in our relationship with Him, hey, we're not ashamed to come before the throne of God. Have you ever felt ashamed? God, well, here I am again. Messed up again. That happens, we understand. My friend, the thing is, it's about hope. Because the hope maketh not ashamed. Let me just ask this question here. How does your actions define hope? Expectation or uncertainty? Are you expecting God to work or are you uncertain that God will? Question two, can your attitude throughout a trial produce hope? The way that you've handled your last trial, is hope something that you have? Last question, are you in search of hope outside of Christ? Because the only way, the entrance into hope is only through Jesus Christ. It is not an answered prayer, although God answers those prayers and makes you feel like there's hope. Your hope is tied to your identity in Jesus Christ. Some of us just need to say, you know what? God, let me just recommit my life to you. Recommit my Bible reading, my prayer, my devotion, my witness. Let me just reconnect myself to you because through that I can reacquaint myself with hope. Because if you're in need of hope tonight, it's not anywhere else but only through Jesus Christ. And did you know the people of Reynoldsburg need to hear that? Your community needs to hear that. The people of Reynoldsburg need to hear that. Because there's a mass amount of people live their daily lives living without any hope. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time. I do pray, Lord God, that you would use this message in the hearts of those that are here tonight. I do thank you again for giving me the opportunity to preach your word. I do pray, Lord God, that you would use it in your own way. We thank you for it.